What good is it to go farther south?
Bobcat looked at the others in the council circle. The chiseled lines of his weathered face, reflected in the flickers of firelight, showed his unease. The tattoos of footprints on his cheeks thinned with his expression. He sat wrapped in a worn buffalo robe.
I can't see it. We haven't spotted a single moose since we left the dangerous river. This land looks drier than what we left behind us. The buffalo are scattered, few and far between. The grass isn't lush. Different kinds of plants grow here. I don't know what good can come out of moving into lands where there aren't as many game animals.
Overhead, the star-shot sky had paled in the glow of the rising moon. The white clay had pitched camp in a hollow that gouged the lee of an uplifted sandstone hogback. The hollow offered protection from the brunt of the wind and enjoyed a southern exposure that caught the sun's rays. The sandy soil drained well, unlike the sloppy clay in the flats. The firelight flickered off the lodges and cast elongated conical shadows on the trampled snow and sagebrush. For once, the cool breeze blowing down from the mountains didn't carry the bite of winter. Whistling Hare, the band's old leader, spread his hands wide, the fringes of his elk-hide jacket waving. His eyes had lost their luster, worry betrayed by the sunken skin of his face.
I'm not sure we have any choice. We're being hunted by wolf people. I think they expect us farther to the north. And behind them come the Black Point and the Broken Stones. Last summer, those clans spent most of their time warring against each other. Next summer, they might turn their attention to us.
Bobcat's wife, Grasshopper, straightened.
I've never been as hungry as I have been this winter.
Her hot gaze shifted from face to face. White Ash sat in Sage Ghost's place in the council circle. Since setting up camp, her father hadn't stirred from the lodge. He stayed on his robes, staring emptily at the spot where bright moon should have been. The central fire flared as young Drummer dutifully cast more sage onto the flames. The white clay leadership sat around the dim light, grim-faced. Old Flying Squirrel stirred in her place beside Whistling Hare.
We can't stay here. Windrunner barely escaped with his life as it was. Those war parties, they'll find our trail, if they're not already sniffing along it. Bobcat, no matter how well we liked it in the north, we've wasted enough of our energy trying to hold land. We've sung too many of our warriors' souls to the sky and Thunderbird. They do us no good in the camp of the dead. I have one son left alive. One son, not four. Maybe it's power doing this to us. We're the Sun people. Maybe the Sun is forcing us south for some reason. Other people live in the south. It's a land that will support us.
White Ash started as the old woman looked at her. All gazes turned her way. White Ash collected herself, looking from face to face.
People live very well in the south. They don't hunt as much as we do, but they don't suffer from famine either. On the other side of the Sideways Mountains, the Earth people have lived for many generations. The camps were few and far between at first. As they grew, some broke away and made new camps. Unlike us, they collect seeds and plants and store them for the winter.
But they live in lodges made of dirt. You'll never catch me living in dirt.
Their elders don't freeze to death. They don't have to die on long marches either, because the people don't have to go as far to seek food.
Badger crossed his arms over his chest.
I don't like the idea of eating seeds and plants.
Old Falcon, the soul flyer, raised an arm from his tightly bundled robes and shook his finger.
But you trade for those root cakes every chance you get.
Badger gestured helplessly.
Well, you have to trade with traders. That's the power. I don't want to offend power, that's all.
And wasn't it you who told me how sweet those root cakes were? I think you could give up a little buffalo meat for those cakes, especially when it means eating them without fear that a broken stone's dart will land in your back.
Brave Man looked around the circle.
That remains to be seen. We haven't exactly found a pleasant greeting as we move farther south. I killed four of the last warriors who would try the might of the white clay. What about these Earth people? You think they'll just let us camp and hunt in their lands? My power warns against this.
People shifted uncertainly. No one knew what to think about Brave Man's power. Old Falcon shook his head.
Listen to me. If we go farther south, I don't know what will happen. Instead, come with me. Let me take you back to the Fat Beaver. I know a way that we can live up there where the herds are plentiful. Follow me, and I will keep you safe.
One by one, people turned to Whistling Hare and Flying Squirrel. Whistling Hare drew himself up to full height.
And where would you lead us, Brave Man? What would you do differently?
Brave Man smiled so confidently that his teeth gleamed in the red light of the fire.
I will take us back north. I will denounce the White Clay. Wait, hear me out! I will denounce the White Clay, me alone. When I do, I will challenge the war leader of the Broken Stones. When I defeat their best warrior, I will make a place for the White Clay among the Broken Stones.
White Ash gaped, as stunned as the rest of them.
Think about it. I can make a place among the Broken Stones for all of us. I can save all of us. Do you understand? I, Brave Man, can keep all of you alive. We won't have to go south. We won't have to run anymore.
Bobcat shifted.
My ancestors have been White Clay since the beginning of the world. I cannot turn my back on them. Perhaps I could eat roots and collect plants. My children, and their children after them, will be White Clay.
And if there are no more children, what then? What if we here in this circle are the last of the White Clay?
Then we are the last of the White Clay. That is all I have to say. I'll go south before I have anything to do with Broken Stones.
He finished with the hand sign for no more.
I hear my friend Bobcat.
Badger's face might have been a mask.
I too will die as the last White Clay.
You're being foolish. The power speaks in my mind. Follow me. The voices tell me the way. As a clan, we can't keep on this way. We'll be blown away like grains of sand on a strong wind.
Whistling Hare shook his head slowly.
Myself, I can't go to the Broken Stones. I don't know about Brave Man's power. What I do know is that we are White Clay. Any who want to go to the Broken Stones with Brave Man may do so. That is our way. It might not be so bad. Among the Sun People, many have changed clans. If any of you would do so, go with my best wishes. For myself, I can't.
People nodded, looking back and forth to seek reassurance in one another's eyes. White Ash glanced at Windrunner where he sat listening, a torn look on his face. Torn? Why? Surely he couldn't be taking Brave Man seriously, not after the rift that had deepened between them.
I have to speak for myself and Sage Ghost. We will go where Whistling Hare decides.
The old leader gave her a secret smile, pleased. Flying Squirrel sat up.
I think we should pack at first light and head south for the Sideways Mountains. No good will come of staying on this side. The Sun or Thunderbird will see to it that we don't meet any war parties until we're south of the mountains. No one will think to look for us there.
Except the Earth People. Listen to me. I'm your only hope.
I don't know what to think of your power, Brave Man. I think you have a different sort of power. Maybe stronger than anyone else's, and maybe not. You escaped from the camp of the dead, and I understand the power of that. My own soul having flown to the land of the dead on occasion. But men must hear the voices of power and then make their own decisions. My soul says that I should go south. I don't know why we've been pushed so. Power uses people in different ways for its own purposes.
Old Falcon's gentle gaze shifted to White Ash.
Power has given us hints in the past that our way is south.
You believe that, old man. It'll be your death.
White Ash tensed. People around the fire sat straighter, grim lines forming around their mouths. No one used that tone with a soul flyer, especially with one of Old Falcon's reputation. Those sitting closest to Brave Man shifted, trying to distance themselves. Oblivious, Brave Man continued to stare at Old Falcon through narrowed eyes.
I think we will pack up camp at first light tomorrow and go south as fast as we can.
Whistling Hare nodded, uneasy eyes on Brave Man.
I will go south with the morning light. Those who wish may follow me.
One by one, they stood and returned to their lodges. White Ash rose and started back toward her lodge. She glanced around at the shadowy sage with uneasy eyes. She could feel the trouble hanging in the night, watching and waiting to leap. Brave Man had lost his mind to challenge Old Falcon in such a way. She glanced back just before she ducked into Sage Ghost's lodge. Only Brave Man and Old Falcon remained seated by the fire, their eyes locked on one another.
You take a coyote's paw now. When you let it sit out for a while and all the hide and tendons and muscles rot away, you'll see it's a lot like a human hand.
But the bones have to be different.
They were headed north, following a narrow valley through the Round Rock Mountains. Two eagles whirled in circles overhead, dipping and turning as they rode the thermals.
Well, they are different. The bones are smaller and thinner, but you take each bone of the human hand, and you can find one like it in a coyote's paw. You can see the similarities.
All right. So maybe animals do have the same insides as humans do. The wise one above made people after he made animals. So what?
Bad Belly scratched between his shoulder blades and gestured.
I think it's curious is all. I mean, why didn't the wise one above make some animals, well, without teeth or something? You know, just to be different.
No wonder you drove Larkspur crazy.
If I'm starting to bother you, let me know, and I'll be quiet.
No, I'm enjoying it. You're a different sort of person. You've got a fresh way of looking at the world. I've missed being with anyone as easygoing as you are.
Bad Belly felt a giddy sensation in his breast, like flapping butterfly wings.
I feel years younger. I didn't know it would be like this.
How do you mean?
I guess I'm happy. And scared at the same time.
Left Hand walked easily, his trader's staff held high.
Why did you ask to come? I thought you wouldn't. I thought you wouldn't have the courage.
Bad Belly stroked his withered hand.
Can I tell him? Would Warmfire think it was all right? I promised my friend I would leave. He told me... Nothing. It was between us.
Bad Belly looked up at the crystal sky.
If it kills me, Left Hand, I had to leave. I gave a promise to my only friend. A promise...
And you think you'll follow this journey to wherever it ends?
Left Hand studied him from the corner of his eye.
You could die, you know. Meet an accident, fall, maybe startle a silver bear.
I have nightmares about that. Left Hand, even if I hadn't promised Warmfire, what do you think it would be like if I went back now?
You know it won't be easy. If you decide you want to be a traitor, the trail is always longer than you think.
No, I have someone to look for first.
Someone?
What if I told you it was power?
You had a dream?
Not me. Warmfire. He told me just before he died.
Well, where did he tell you to go?
North.
Well, that's a lot of territory. You can come with me to the wolf people if you want. Or I can tell you how to get to other places. You know, which trails to take, where to find water and good camps. Just where do you want to end up?
Well, I guess I hadn't really thought that far ahead.
Well, come with me. You like the wolf people. You could make a place for yourself among us. Or... you could be a traitor.
But you said I had to find my power first.
Yes, you do.
Left Hand stopped and turned to face Bad Belly.
Listen, to a traitor, the journey is part of the power. It's not something undertaken lightly. Here.
Left Hand reached down and undid the laces that held a small leather pouch at his belt, then handed the pouch to Bad Belly.
What is it?
Bad Belly used his teeth to pull the drawstring open. Inside, he could see a collection of curious triangular black rocks, each one polished and gleaming.
A gift for the trail, my friend.
A gift?
Left Hand nodded.
Well, the basis for a trade, actually. I'm a trader, remember?
Bad Belly felt a hollow anxiety in his gut.
But I don't have anything to trade, just a few things in my pack. A couple of biscuit root cakes.
Not all trades are made at the same time. Think of it as bond. A bond of power. Trading is a thing of the soul, sharing. One day you will come across a gift to repay that one. Something as important to you as those teeth were to me. I trust your soul, Bad Belly. You won't forget me.
Teeth?
Bad Belly pulled one of the curious flat stones from the pouch.
Teeth.
Left Hand turned his steps to the trail again.
I wouldn't have known myself, but I showed them to a trader in the lands of the Antelope people. He had carried a pack of Olivella shells from the Western Water and told me that these are teeth out of a terrible fish that swims there. But this trader had never seen any of its teeth so large, or of stone.
Then where did you get them?
Well, that's a part of the power of trade, Bad Belly, and a mystery at the same time. I got them from Old One Fist over at White Sandstone Camp. He said he found them washing out of the dirt down in the rim country. He says there are lots of bones there, and that they're all washing out of the soil. But that's not the curious part.
Oh?
Oh, yes. The curious part is that all the bones are stone. Now, I've traveled more than any trader I know, and I've never seen an animal with bones made of rock.
Bad Belly inspected the tooth again, noting the serrated edges and how flat they were.
These would make a wonderful necklace.
You and I think a lot the same. But tell me, Bad Belly, where are you going to start looking for this power of yours?
Bad Belly frowned. Where did a person start to look for power? The fish's stone tooth felt cool and heavy in his fingers. The dream possessed White Ash, lifting her like a feather on the wind. She flipped and twirled, rising, then falling, her soul sailing on the currents. She settled into a familiar and comforting gray haze. The mist around her swirled, turning golden with a honeyed glow. It seemed to thicken, forming the features of a handsome young man. Light changed, growing brighter and darker by stages.
Who are you?
All that you are. And are not. That which I am dances the fire and sings the stars.
Why am I here?
Your time is coming. A way must be made. You are part of the spiral, the circle without beginning or end. Your people, all of your people, will need you. You are the way, and you are not.
What do you mean, the way and not the way?
The young man smiled, and White Ash's soul ached for that beauty. His love seemed to radiate like heat from glowing coals, shooting her soul full of ecstasy.
The time has come. The trail you take will be difficult. Are you strong enough? Can you learn all you will need to?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
A new path starts for you now. Seek and test yourself. Power has its reasons. You may be the one we seek. The bundle is waiting for you. If you can find the way and trust yourself.
The haze shimmered, blurring the image of the young man.
Wait! Come back!
Seek. Learn yourself first. No love and hate. No happiness and sorrow. No pain and pleasure. Learn.
Come back!
She reached for him, but the golden haze shifted, and she fell, grabbing into the silky nothingness as the light dimmed and the golden hues went gray. Falling, her stomach rose and tingled, falling, dropping like a rock into an abyss. She gasped in the cold air and sat up. Sweat ran hot down her face as she blinked in the darkness. The wind whispered around the lodge poles and batted the smoke hole flap back and forth. White Ash reached over and poked at the coals. A tiny flame flickered to life. She froze. Sage Ghost's robes lay empty. Worry gnawed at her. He'd sat silently in the lodge while she'd attended the council. When she'd repeated what had been said, he'd listened, eyes lackluster.
Don't tell me you've lost your mind, too.
White Ash pushed her hair back and found her worn coat. She took her moccasins from where they sat propped by the fire to dry and slipped them on. Then she ducked out of the flap. The moon hung low over the ridge to the west. White Ash peered around the shadowed landscape. Sage Ghost's possessions remained in the lodge, so he hadn't gone far. She walked around the camp, watched by the dogs who raised their heads, ears pricked. The lodges cast eerie shadows that made her think of Brave Man's Camp of the Dead. Coupled with the images of the dream, the night pressed down as if to smother her. The camp seemed too quiet. Even the usual snoring had gone silent in the lodges. Overhead, the brighter stars glowed with cold light. A shiver, prompted by more than the chill, ran down her spine. Her skin prickled as if unseen eyes followed her from the concealing shadows. She whirled, feeling a malignant presence lurking behind her, stalking on predator feet. Sage Ghost might have vanished into the crystal air. A sudden, muted gust of wind tickled the loose hair along her cheek. She batted at it. The dog travoy poles stuck up like ghostly fingers. White Ash nerved herself and stepped out into the sage so that she could look up at the sandstone ridge. A faint silhouette moved against the moonlight. Sage Ghost? Walking the night, lost in his grief over Bright Moon? A coyote? Or something else? She worked her way carefully up the shadowed slope. At the sound, she peered into the darkness. Nothing. She forced herself to continue, step by fear-charged step. White Ash crouched as she reached the crest of the ridge, afraid to show herself on the skyline. The shadowy figure, definitely a man, paced slowly in the moonlight, hands behind his back as he looked up at the stars. She made her way through the short sagebrush on silent feet until she could see the man clearly.
Windrunner?
He turned, crouching slightly before he recognized her.
What are you doing up here at this time of night?
Looking for Sage Ghost, but I could ask you the same.
He lowered his head, features hidden in shadow.
I don't know. Just a feeling. I couldn't sleep.
She rubbed her arms, looking around. To the west, the Red Rock Mountains lay in shadow. The uplifted sandstone ridges to the north looked as though they'd sprouted from a ghost world. They thrust up raggedly in blue-white light and shadow.
It's not a night for sleep. Power is loose.
Windrunner scuffed the ground with a moccasined toe.
I feel like something is about to happen. Like all of our lives are going to change on a night like this. I wonder if morning will ever come.
White Ash glanced at the stars.
It will. Soon, in fact. Why are you up here?
I'm trying to decide what to do.
What do you mean, what to do?
I think I'm leaving tomorrow.
Leaving?
Going north, to the Black Point.
You can't. We need you. You're one of the best hunters.
He stepped close and grasped her by the shoulders. She could feel his penetrating stare.
I'm doing it for you.
She broke away.
For me? No, that doesn't make sense.
It makes perfect sense. I can go to the Black Point, renounce my clan, earn a place among them. And when I do, I can ask you to marry me. My family will be declared dead. I'll have no relations then.
For a moment, she couldn't form words.
That's crazy. Marry me now. I love you. You're playing a game with this kinship thing as it is. I'm no more your sister than these rocks are. Let's run off. Go somewhere where there are no sun people. Just you and me.
I can't. These are my people. How would they feel if they knew we ran away to live in incest?
How will they feel when you run off and call them dead? Doesn't that mean anything to you?
But they'll understand why I did it. That it wasn't done to hurt them, but because I honor their traditions. Look, people have to live by rules. We've been given ours. You and I both know this is the only way.
Don't do this.
A man could do no less for the woman he loves. For you, I challenge all of the Black Point and come for you at the head of 10 tens of warriors.
You'll break your relatives' hearts.
Do you love me? Tell me now. Tell me from your soul.
She swallowed hard, torn by her duty to the people. Learn yourself. The voice echoed in her head.
Yes.
Would you be my wife?
Yes.
He nodded, moonlight gleaming in his long black hair.
Wait for me. Promise me that you won't accept brave men. Promise me that you'll give yourself to no other man of the White Clay.
There aren't many left to choose from.
I know. Better yet, come with me now. You and I together will go north. That way I won't have to come back. Won't have to take the chance of having to fight for you. Maybe kill one of the White Clay in the process.
White Ash closed her eyes.
I can't. You know that. Sage Ghost needs me. The people here need me.
Windrunner turned in profile, staring out over the lines of irregular ridges, shining in the soft white light.
I'll be back for you. I'll follow the way south until I find you.
If they don't kill you during the challenge, you'll have to face their best warrior. A man who's killed many!
They won't kill me. Not with the most beautiful woman in the world waiting for me.
Don't. Please. For me, don't do this thing.
When you said you would marry me, my decision was made.
Then I won't marry you.
He lifted her chin.
Can you look me in the eyes and tell me that?
She shook her head.
But I can't send you off to your death either.
I'm not going to my death. I can feel it. No. I'll be back for you.
He caught her and pulled her to him. His arms went around her in the way she'd always dreamed about. For long moments, she clasped him to her, the need for him pulsing with her blood. Finally, he pushed her away to hold her at arm's length.
I won't be long. I'll be coming for you no later than the first snowfall. Be very careful of Brave Man. He's dangerous. After last night, he won't stay. Funny how things work out. I am headed for the Black Point, he to the Broken Stones. When we played together as boys, who would have thought we'd end up as such bitter enemies?
Is there nothing I can say to stop you?
No. It's a way out for us. We both know that. Now, go find Sage Ghost. Take the people south tomorrow. Tell them what I've done and why. They'll understand.
White Ash nodded, a new numbness inside. Windrunner stepped over to some sagebrush and picked up his darts and atlatl, then slung his small pack.
No matter what happens, I'll always love you.
And I'll love you.
He turned to go.
Please, Windrunner, don't do this thing.
Before the fall snows, I promise.
He waved as he began picking his way through the sage, heading north. She watched him go until the shadows hid his form. White Ash bowed her head, misery hanging about her like dead moss. By the time she reached the foot of the slope, she'd managed to control the ache inside.
Will everyone I love always have to leave? Blessed Creator, I condemned him to death. Except, he seemed so certain.
She looked back at the ridge, graying now in the first strains of dawn.
I'll never see him again.
She started to make another circle of the camp and noticed the shadow in the sagebrush. She stepped closer, peering. A man lay there face down. A chill washed through her soul.
Sage Ghost?
He didn't move. She could sense the wrongness, the feeling of abused power. She bent down and laid her fingers against his flesh, cold as the frozen ground. She grabbed his buffalo hide coat and rolled him over. In the dim twilight of dawn, she could make out his features. Old Falcon! She gasped at the dark stain on his forehead. The blood had frozen and clotted where his skull had been split open. She staggered backward, a hand to her mouth.
Whistling Hair! Come! Come quickly! Old Falcon's dead! Murdered!
Dark forms charged in from the sage, weapons raised over their heads. Too shocked to understand, White Ash fell into a crouch. Not for several seconds did she realize that the shadowy forms darting between the lodges were warriors. Wolf people.
No. No, this can't be. There are too many.
The White Clay were hopelessly outnumbered. Rockmouse, who had survived the attack on the Fat Beaver, stumbled out of her lodge, hair flying as she ran. A war club smacked soddenly into her skull. Whistling Hair emerged from his lodge, fitting a dart to his atlatl, as a stone-tipped lance slapped into his abdomen. Bobcat rushed from his lodge. He staggered as fletched shafts pierced his body. A massacre was taking place before White Ash's eyes. In desperation, she looked around. Enemy warriors were everywhere. A dart hissed by her ear, the cast misled by the poor light. The deadly missile freed her from the grip of terror. She turned, running with all her heart. Bad Belly tugged his robes closer around his throat. He lay on his back and stared at the night sky. Beside him, Trouble huddled in a furry ball. His warmth seeped through Bad Belly's robes. Overhead, the stars glimmered and twinkled, cold points of light on the sable undercoat of night. Curious emotions played through Bad Belly's chest, the way mice scurried through dry grass. He'd left, fulfilled the promise to warm fire.
Now what? Where should I go? To the wolf people? Do I follow the path of the traitor? Is that the way of my power?
The pouch with the stonefish teeth lay heavy and reassuring on his chest, hung from the thong around his neck. That gift had become his most precious possession, one he'd never part with, not even at the cost of his soul. He turned his head, studying the black shadows of the hollow they'd camped in. Left Hand lay buried in his robes, his dogs in a circle around their packs. The fire had burned down to low embers, no more than dots of speckled red in the night.
Where do I go now?
The world waited, hostile, unfamiliar, unfriendly. Danger lurked just beyond the next ridgetop, or in the sullen shadows of the sage. The day since he'd left Round Rock had been filled with conversation. He and Left Hand had laughed and joked, talked of spirit power and its ways, and about how other peoples lived and acted. Bad Belly's brain pulsed with ideas. The romantic call of strange and exciting things beckoned.
If only it weren't so frightening.
He resettled his head on his arm, feeling the tug of the wind. It had buffeted them all day as they walked. Their words had been sucked away in the mighty gusts and blown out into the stalwart sage. He drifted, thoughts softening like spring snow in the sun. The way his tired body felt, it might have been afloat on a sultry current. The dream came with the gentle touch of smoke on a hazy morning, creeping around his slumber, easing itself into his soul. Bad Belly stood on a high rocky point that jutted above a cracked and worn range of mountains. Below his perch, the mountain fell away in jagged cracks and upthrust folds of rock that dropped off into blue-green depths. He stood in the realm of the eagles. The angular granite bit into his feet, harsh and unrelenting. Above, the sky looked inflamed. Sunset streaked the clouds with yellow and orange. A hot wind threw itself against him, sucking the moisture from his body. On the slopes below, thick stands of timber prickled with the lance tips of tall trees, while gaudy light shot weird shadows into the hidden depths of the forest. The irregular outcrops of bedrock glowed in the eerie rays cast by the bleeding sky. Bad Belly's nostrils flared at the smell of smoke. Bad Belly's heart rose in his throat as a squeamish feeling tickled his stomach. Frosty tendrils of fear wound through his soul. Smoke curled around him and thickened. Bad Belly shaded his eyes and peered as images formed in the smoke. He could make out men capturing antelope in a pen, laughing as they placed braided nooses around the frightened animals' necks. The vision changed, and gangs of men labored in the hot sun, using shining implements to hack away at a hillside. One by one, they chiseled squares of rock from the mountain's gut, hoisted them on their sweat-shiny backs, and marched away in an endless line. In the background, the land had been changed, flattened. In the square plots of land, a single species of plant grew tall and straight under the sun. Between the plots strode men with gleaming spears and knives, as long as a man's arm, that shimmered silver in the sunlight. These they used on the laboring people, forcing them to do their bidding.
What is this?
What might be, man of the people?
Gripped by fear, Bad Belly turned, and the forest behind him exploded into flame. The blaze engulfed whole trees. Branches waved and shook as licking tongues of yellow devoured them. Fire roared, leaped, and danced around Bad Belly, and he tried to shy away. The conflagration responded by sending spears of charring fire toward him. Panic flooded his veins. Frantically, he looked around and found no way off the pinnacle of rock.
Trapped! I'm trapped up here!
Flames darted up to pierce the clouds and play among them like spirits gone mad.
Man of the people?
Bad Belly turned at the voice, bending down, trying to shield himself.
Help me!
Bad Belly, man of the people.
Who are you? Where are you? We're going to die!
Death is an illusion.
Something moved in the ash-stirred depths of the inferno. Bad Belly winced and crouched on the rock, tears of horror creeping from his eyes. A man of fire walked through the flames. The shimmering figure stopped no more than an arm's length away, and the heat mellowed.
Bad Belly, man of the people.
Go away! Leave me alone! I've done nothing to the spirits! Leave me alone!
You left Round Rock. You fulfilled your promise.
Warm fire!
Had his friend become this nightmare apparition?
I am the first man, Wolf Dreamer. I dance the spiral. I am all that is and is not. I dream the one.
Why are you here? What did I do?
I am not here for what you have done, but for what you may do.
I won't. I won't do it. I promise. Leave me in peace. Go away, spirit. I'm not bad.
You are anything but bad, man of the people. You are a pure soul, seeking nothing more than yourself. Will you give more? Are you strong enough to save her? Do you have enough courage to dare everything for the dream? Can you save the one? Are you strong enough to risk all for the wolf dream?
Risk all? I don't understand. Why have you come to me? What did I do?
You took the first step. You fulfilled a promise to a dying man. Are you willing to fulfill a promise to power? That is what you seek, isn't it? Go. Prepare yourself. You have within you that which power will need.
Why me?
Yours is the blood of first man. Yours is the legacy of dreamers.
But I've never dreamed.
You have never sought. The way to power is unpredictable and never free of danger. Prepare yourself. Seek the way.
Bad Belly tried to scuttle away as the fiery being spread his arms. About him, the flames melted into a golden haze.
What are you?
I am First Man, the Wolf Dreamer, Fire Dancer.
The figure grew and changed, becoming a wolf.
The Sun People come. The spiral is changing. Before a tree must grow, it must wind its roots into the ground. The tree of the sun will grow in time. The roots must be coaxed into the dream now. If not, the spiral will be turned, and the world will change.
An incredible despair settled over Bad Belly, an immensity of loss so terrible that he collapsed onto the rock. He clamped his jaws against the sucking emptiness of the soul and gripped the rough stone with fingers that cramped and bled. The haze swirled and darkened, becoming a mountainside lit by glowing lights like tiny suns. Men labored with the gleaming implements, picking at the mountain while overseers watched. The men pulled rocks from the bones of the mountain and piled them under the lights. The vision drew Bad Belly into the very mountain. There, like moles, men and women scurried on hands and knees through warrens they chipped out of the mountain's belly. Dirty, bent, and miserable, they labored to break chunks of stone loose. Some coughed, eyes gleaming, flesh sallow. Others bore their travail in silence.
What madness is this?
The vision shimmered into golden haze again. The end of the spiral. The end of the harmony of the dream. The glowing wolf began to change its form. As he watched, the front legs of the fiery beast spread and grew into wings with long feathers of flame, gleaming golden eyes locked with Bad Belly's. The huge bird hissed and clutched the rock with jet-black talons. Then the beast leaped for the sky. High in the crimson heavens, the spirit bird soared and vanished. Bad Belly bolted upright in his robes. As sweat tickled on his hot skin, he stared around at the dark camp. His good hand knotted the thick leather of his buckskin shirt over his heart. Left hand, half crouched in his robes, had a dart knocked in his atlatl.
What happened?
Dream. Spirit dream.
Left hand peered nervously around at the night, feet twisted in the wreckage of his bedding.
Spirit dream. Didn't you hear it?
Bad Belly clamped his eyes shut to squeeze the vision from his soul. Had it been Thunderbird? The spirit helper of the Sun People? Why would such a being come to him?
Hear it?
The thunder, like a bolt of lightning, blasted the camp.
Bad Belly opened his eyes and looked fearfully up into the crystal night sky. Not a cloud anywhere. The memory of huge, fiery wings throbbed against his soul. Fear spurred White Ash, fit to burst her heart as she raced up the narrow valley. She blinked tears out of her eyes. The sun rose higher in the sky, cresting the rounded ridge to her left. The day would be warm and sunny. As the ground warmed, it would be harder to hide her trail. How many survived? Sage Ghost? Had he been far enough away? Or had he been the first to die, killed to buy silence for the attacking wolf people? Windrunner made it. He was far to the north by the time the attack came. A colder fear lay like ice inside her. Old Falcon had been killed long before the attack. The blow that murdered him had come early in the night, or the blood wouldn't have frozen that way, nor would his flesh have lost its heat. A ghostly memory formed. Brave Man and Old Falcon sitting across from each other after the council meeting, the look of challenge between them. But to kill? And in so brutal a manner? Brave Man's possessed eyes leered at her as she relived the moment when he'd tried to rape her. That powerful gleam knew no right or wrong. She'd seen that in his soul that day. What did that matter now? She'd witnessed the destruction of the white clay. Those final screams would haunt her forever. All that could be loved and cherished had been obliterated, like tracks in the sand after a strong wind. She forced one foot ahead of the other, making distance. She turned out of the valley and drove her exhausted body up the slope. She wove through the thick sage and stumbled onto the ridgetop. Before her, ridges ran in every direction as they extended from the foothills of the Red Rock Mountains. A broad drainage lay between her and the Sideways Mountains. The peaks of the Sideways Mountains glistened as the sun struck their virgin snowfields. An impossible barrier, too steep. In those ice-locked valleys, she would find nothing to eat. Not only that, there wouldn't be much to eat anywhere this early in the year. A few sagebrush buttercups had begun to bloom with the retreat of the snow. They could be eaten after having been boiled 3 or 4 times to wash away the bitterness. Shooting star and biscuit root would be growing in the next moon. But now? White Ash dropped to her knees, trying to recharge her drained body. The wind teased her tangled hair into a black web around her head. She looked back to the west, toward the unforgiving slopes of the Red Rock Mountains. Faint puffs of ugly cloud hung around the high peaks. She shook her head. Snow followed warm days, as if the warm weather were but a cruel joke, a tease of better times. She braced herself, got up, and started to wind her way down the far side of the ridge. Drainages like a maze of cracks cut through the rough, rocky landscape. A land of dry rock and tortured ridges, it didn't offer much. She bit her lip, unsure of what to do, of where to go.
Windrunner, you fool. They'll kill you.
To the west, the sheep hunters hunted the Red Rock Mountains, stern warriors who had learned the trails and ways of the mountains since birth. To the east, across the basin, lay the wolf people, and she'd already seen their mercy. South, beyond the Sideways Mountains, lay her native earth people.
My only hope.
She paused at the top of the next ridge. The best way, the only way, would be to skirt the rugged foothills of the Sideways Mountains, follow the drainages to the east, and search out a pass that wasn't choked with snow.
Provided I can find enough to eat. Provided I don't freeze. Provided a lot of things.
Her fire sticks, her atlatl and darts, her pack of sleeping robes were gone. Trophies of the wolf people's last crushing blow to the white clay. First thing, she needed to find a stand of rice grass. The stems, charred, made the finest fire starter. Fortunately, the Grey Deer Basin was rich in tool stone. Flaking cutting tools would be simple enough. Once she found the right woods with which to make fire sticks, she could build fires. The coming days would be difficult, but the land would provide. She glared at the east, a burning anger in her heart.
Your time is limited, wolf people. The sun people are coming from the north. Kick them even a little, and they'll strike back again and again. It's their power, the way of war.
She shook her head.
It's their very strength.
Bad Belly placed his foot carefully and stopped, head cocked. They were somewhere close. The droppings that lay on the gray duff under the sagebrush couldn't have been older than last night. He stood on the eastern side of a long slope. Here, the sagebrush grew thick and as tall as a man's knee. A rolling vista of ridges stretched to the east, and the hazy horizon. The sun slanted, casting shadows over the land. The rugged wall of the Sideways Mountains loomed to the north. Narrow valleys cut through the weathered slopes as if a spirit cat had ravaged the very stone with its claws. He fingered the round rock in his hand. Once he'd used it as an image of the moon when he'd traced its shadows before the lodge fire. Now he hoped it would kill. With patient skill, he studied the blue-green wealth of sage. He let the aromas of sage and damp earth soothe the faint awareness of homesickness. There, from a perfectly camouflaged body, a single brown eye stared at him. Bad Belly shifted, getting his balance. Years of practice paid off as he threw the stone. The rock caught the sage grouse broadside. Bad Belly pinned the big bird with a foot and grabbed its throat, then whirled it around to snap the neck. He retrieved the rock and stepped around the sage. Disturbed by the scuttle, two more grouse bobbed their heads as they walked this way and that through the thick brush, aware that something had gone wrong. Like all grouse, they were too stupid to fly at the sight of a human. Bad Belly waited patiently. One of the gray speckled birds stepped behind a sagebrush. Bad Belly took a step, then another, as the wounded bird fluttered away on one wing and a broken leg. The third strutted calmly in the sage, oblivious to the plight of its fellow, and destined for the same fate. As Left Hand approached with his dogs, Bad Belly displayed his catch.
It's food! Tonight we'll eat well.
Three birds? One for us and two for all of these dogs?
That's eating well?
You never know what we'll find for the rest of the day.
Bad Belly gestured toward the foothills.
Badwater Camp lies up there along the creek somewhere. We might make it by midday tomorrow. They'll feed us and the dogs, too. Three birds will keep us going.
Left Hand nodded as he studied the mountains and the way their path would lead.
If not, we'll take a day and see if we can't lure an antelope into an ambush. I just haven't seen the right place to do it yet.
This is Badwater territory. Bone Ring won't care about a couple of grouse, but we'd better get a permission before we go hunting anything like a...
And I'm a traitor.
Left Hand raised his staff and jabbed a thumb at his chest.
You Earth people in your territory don't mean anything to a traitor.
Bone Ring decides things for Badwater. I met her once. She's a tough woman.
Tell me, honestly, would Larkspur have thrown a fit if she found a traitor eating an antelope he'd killed on her land? No, not even Larkspur, tough and mean as she is, would squawk about a traitor filling his belly or feeding his dogs. Besides, they know me at Badwater. Bone Ring gets along with the wolf people. A few years back, she sent us a couple of packs of rice grass seed when things were a little bleak.
Bad Belly looked over his shoulder at the far western mountains. A gray haze had covered the peaks.
Looks like a storm coming. We might want to hole up at Badwater. It would be nice to have a warm lodge to sleep in if that turns out to be as bad as it looks.
Bone Ring will put us up. She'll probably have half of what's in my packs if we stop there, but we'll have a warm lodge and full bellies.
Trading is something I'd never do well. If people wanted to trade, I'd end up giving them everything.
Left Hand took up the march, heading for the long ridge that separated the Badwater from the rest of the basin.
Different traders do things differently. It depends on your power.
Left Hand shot a glance at Bad Belly.
Then, a man who dreams thunder out of night sky... Well, you tell me.
I don't know what to think. I've never had a dream like that.
Oh, maybe you weren't worthy before.
Worthy?
Power has its ways. And you haven't told me everything about Wormfire's death and what he made you promise. Not that I've asked, mind you. Power isn't something to be talked about lightly. A fellow like me knows enough about it to be cautious. Maybe Wormfire's death was supposed to be a sign to you. Like that wolf you talk about.
I don't know about signs and things. I'm just me.
You never know about power. It exists everywhere, all around us. I remember when I was a boy listening to a dreamer. He said that power is in this world, and it isn't.
How can it be in this world and not be at the same time?
Look around you, Bad Belly. Power is everywhere. But can you see it? Touch it? No. It's here, and it isn't. That's why you have to seek it. Among my people, a person must prepare himself and climb to a high place. You see, only when you've cleansed your body and soul does power make itself known. That's why it comes in dreams. You have to meet power in a different world from this one. In dreams, when the soul is free.
Why did it come to me last night? How come it never came before? I've had lots of dreams, everybody does.
Power dream?
No, this one is the first.
That's the point.
Bad Belly shot him a skeptical glance.
Look, maybe you weren't worthy of being noticed until you left Larkspur's. Maybe your leaving was a test. You know, whatever you promised Wormfire had to be carried out. Power doesn't just give itself away. You have to be worthy.
Bad Belly hung his head, remembering his inability to face Larkspur when Wormfire lay dying. He hated himself at that moment. Hated himself ever since for not staying with Wormfire. No matter the consequences. Leaving had brought him freedom from that guilt. He looked around, feeling the free wind on his shoulder.
Grandmother always knew how to bend me around. She's a master at that. I grew up terrified of her. A person was better off to cross a silver bear than to make Larkspur mad. She'd get back at you, and when she did, everyone suffered for what you'd done.
But you left.
Yes, I left. lured me away when Warmfire was dying. I couldn't... Well, it's over now.
And Power is interested in you. You passed the first test.
The way you say that, I'm not sure I want to pass anymore.
A smoky look veiled Left Hand's eyes.
The first is always the easiest. Did this curious spirit in your dream say anything else? Ask anything of you?
It said I should prepare myself. And seek. And I saw things. Visions of people doing things I couldn't understand. Something terrible is coming. A change in the spiral, if you know what that means. It has something to do with the Sun People's power. And what they'll do to dreaming. Maybe change the entire world.
You know, Bad Belly, you frighten me.
Frighten you?
The ways of power leave any sane man nervous. Warmfire said he dreamed that I was coming. Power told him that. I'd been having dreams of my own. Nothing I could understand, just fragments of visions. And a feeling that I had to hurry. Power threw us together first thing. Maybe it picked me because I have a lot of respect for Power. I know enough about how the spirit world works to know that I'm not the right one for you to talk to.
Well, then, if you're not, who is? In the dream, Wolf Dreamer told me...
Wolf Dreamer?
Left Hand looked over his shoulder to stare at the gray mat of clouds that now obscured the far mountains.
Well, that's what he said. Something about the Wolf Dream and Fire Dancer... He turned into a wolf and into a flaming bird and...
We're not stopping at Badwater.
We're not?
Left Hand frowned at the sideways mountains that rose before them.
No. I think the sooner I take you to Singing Stones, the better off I'm gonna be.
Singing Stones? But I thought...
He's the most powerful dreamer I know.
I don't like that look you're giving me.
I don't know what's going on, Bad Belly, but the sooner I'm away from you, the better I'm gonna feel.
But a storm is coming.
More than one, my friend. More than one. I just hope you're up to it.
Up to it? You're talking in riddles.
Bad Belly's nervous glance shifted back and forth from the coming storm to Left Hand.
Come on. It's a good thing you killed those grouse. The dogs are gonna need them.
The dogs? But I... What are we going to eat?
The packs are full, Bad Belly. That'll keep us alive. If it means the loss of an entire season's trade, that's fine. If that's all it costs me, I'll be more than happy.
But I thought...
Hush! Power guides all trade. That's why it's sacred. What's in the pact belongs to Power. If that's what we're supposed to live off of, that's what we'll do. The act of trading depends on Power. Who am I to insult what gives me my happiness?
Left Hand stalked away, almost running.
Hey, slow down!
We have a lot of ground to cover today.
Bad Belly hurried on while Trouble trotted along behind, happily oblivious.
Why do I feel like it's all out of control? What did I do this time?
He looked back. The clouds had completely hidden the far mountains. The storm would come, and it looked ominous. White Ash had entered the broad valley that ran northeast toward the Grey Deer River. Now she followed the southern side of the valley, crossing drainages that ran between long ridges leading down from the sideways mountains. As she walked, she searched the ground and found a quartzite cobble of just the right size. It fit snugly in the palm of her hand. A short time later, she located a second cobble to use as a hammerstone. She checked the heft and balance of the hammerstone, then, with sharp blows, drove flakes from one side of the quartzite cobble. When she'd made a scalloped edge, she turned it over to continue the process. She inspected the tool with a critical eye. By chipping off both sides, she'd created a jagged cutting edge. She ran a finger over the sharp blade and started for the stand of limber pine on the slope above her. She ignored the low scudding clouds that raced down from the west as she began to hack at the bark on the first tree she came to. The inner bark of the limber pine could be chewed. It might be bitter fare, and more effort to chew the fibers than the body gleaned, but she needed survival food, something for her stomach to work on. As she gathered the bark, snow began to fall in thick flakes. The rounded ridges had a scoured look that boded poorly for shelter. The scrubby sagebrush wasn't quite tall enough to weave into a wickiup. Night began to drift over the land as the snow came down in whirling spirals, obscuring her view of the country. She pulled up her hood and walked on. Somewhere, hidden in the storm, she'd have to find a dry place, out of the wind and blowing snow. There, she could chew the thin strips of bark and maybe stay alive. She nearly missed it as she struggled forward. In the lengthening gloom of evening, the stone overhang merged with the swirling snow. She stopped and stared, shielding her face against the blowing crystals. She stumbled into the rocky shelter. It was nothing more than an undercut sandstone slab, but it would do. She batted the clinging snow from her garments before she crouched back against the rock and huddled into a ball. For just a moment, she would rest, soothe her ragged nerves, let her exhausted body recover some of its reserves. She closed her eyes, shaking her head. Had any of the white clay lived? Were her people nothing more than a memory?
Windrunner, you may be the lucky one. Tell the Black Point that the white clay have vanished from the earth. You have no one to offend now. Only the ghosts of the angry dead.
She dropped her face into her hands. The well of her tears had run dry.
I have only myself now. I am alone. No one. Nothing else.
She sat there while the night darkened and the snow continued to fall. At first, she didn't recognize the sound. She burst to her feet and charged straight into the man's arms. He threw her roughly to the ground and pinned her.
Let me go!
The odors of smoke, winter sweat, and leather filled her nostrils. His breath came warm against her cheek.
It's been a long chase, but Three Bulls has caught you.
She shuddered, recognizing the tongue of the wolf people.
Let me go! I am Three Forks of the Earth people. My people are in peace with yours.
Three Forks does not live with the Sun people. No, I've hunted you all day long. You're mine. If Three Forks wants you, they can trade for you later.
What? What are you gonna do with me?
What does any man want with a woman? You will carry firewood to my lodge and cook my meals. You will work for me, tanning and sewing. And of course, you will warm my robes at night and bring me pleasure.
You'll bring the anger of Three Forks down on you. Green fire will do...
Do nothing! Tonight, this storm will be cold and wet. Together, you and I will be warm. Three Bulls has gone a long time without being warm. Perhaps he's too full of seed. Perhaps his seed would be warm, too.
No!
Her flesh crawled as his cold hand reached down and lifted the hem of her dress.